3.5 hours away. Tip off between the Knicks and Pacers out at beautiful Madison Square Garden. A big game 7. We'll chat a lot about it over the course of the first 3 hours. Take you right up until 1. Yankee baseball comes your way then. Let's continue the Knick conversation. Tommy D joins me now, founder of the Knicks blog for SNY, creator of Modern NBA, 10-year NBA scout. Tommy, game 7, there's nothing better in professional sports, and that's exactly what you got this afternoon at MSG. How are you, brother?
Moose, I'm doing great, brother. Thanks, as always, for having me. This is fun, isn't it? I mean, I've been spending the last 2 hours or so maybe trimming some hedges outside, but also putting together some stats here. I've got like 3 pieces of paper. I'm trying to see a pathway here to, for Knicks fans to see if they can come out with this victory today. I'm thinking about just crumbling them all up and, just having them throw it all out on the line there and see what happens. I mean, this is going to be a great game, and happy to talk to you about it.
Yeah, Tommy, let's start with the on the injury front first and foremost. Realistic expectations from what we know about the heart injury for Josh today for the Knicks.
Yeah, it's not a good one. Everything I've heard is that he's going to give it a go, you know, see what's going to go on in warm-ups. But as soon as he woke up this morning, he felt that pain. That is a knifing pain. If anybody's ever had core injuries or pulls or strains, that is something. I think Woj tweeted this out yesterday about him feeling it even when he's breathing. You know, there are injuries that you can have, Moose, where you can tape them up or you can, rub, something on it and get ready to go. But this is not that type of injury. This is one that he will feel, and this is purely about heart. This is purely about will, which we know you can't quantify, and this is about toughness. We know he has all of those characteristics and attributes without question, but my thing is, even if he is playing, they rely on him so much for so much productivity that him playing at anything less than 100%, because the margin of error has been so slim in the series, is going to be a major, major factor. So even if he does give it a go, I'm having a hard time figuring out where they're going to sort of recoup for so much that he does.
All right, what about OG?
So it sounds like OG's going to give it a go, too, from everything that I heard. Same deal. I mean, hamstrings, honestly, I think a hamstring, of course, being, having a little bit more time to recover as OG has versus Hart, probably the better injury here, but that thing could go at any point. And, then you have to be focusing on sort of, getting that taken care of. I think you throw tomorrow and next week, Celtics, any talk out the window, of course, just to get through today. But I think to have them both on the court early on, you've got to show some pressure on the ball. You've got to show pressure on Siakam, who I think is the next factor here for the Pacers. You've got to show those extra effort plays to get the crowd going. Look, if there's any issue with the Pacers right now, it's their inability to collect defensive rebounds. It's been in their Achilles heel all year. And I'm questioning their toughness here. So I think if the Knicks can kind of come out and throw that first punch with Hart and OG and get the crowd going, Indiana can get back on its heels early and the Knicks may have an advantage.
All right. If we go on the idea, if it's a diminished Hart, which we expect it to be, it's a diminished Anunoby, right? Because you can't expect him to be 100%, right? But he's going to give it a go. How does Tibbs make up for the drop-off in production for Hart with what he has to use on his bench?
He's going to have to rely, obviously, on Brunson, McBride, who you saw a lot of course, the last 2 games. I think the more you see McBride, the less of a defender he becomes. Yes, he can make shots. He's not a guy that's going to live in the paint. What Hart does for you, he's second in the team in touches. We know what he does on the defensive board and getting those extra effort plays and those kickouts to DiVincenzo. Consider this, Moose. If he's getting you, 4 or 5 extra possessions, that's 2 or 3 opportunities for DiVincenzo to make threes that are unscripted plays, right? That's a possible 9 points right there. I don't know where that else is coming from because he's been that guy just to always track down those loose balls. So, that's not something Alec Burks is good at. That's not a Precious Achiuwa thing. To have someone who is second on your team in touches, second on the team in passes, just playing such a limited role, it really impacts the ball energy. And this is really going to end up even more so, Moose, and it's been that way for a long time regardless, more in the hands of Brunson, more pick and roll. That allows for the Pacers really to create sort of that wall to the – to the paint and force those kickouts that these guys are going to have to make.
You know, Tommy, you mentioned questioning the Pacers' toughness. What about the – and you can look at that in a lot of different ways, right? I mentioned earlier in the show, like, I think a great question needs to be answered. If you like Indiana today, can they handle the atmosphere? Now, you can quantify that as being toughness, right? Are they mentally tough enough to be able to handle and build off of their experience, which was a bad performance in Game 5? What about Carlisle's team being able to handle the atmosphere they're going to get 3-plus hours from now?
Completely a Jekyll and Hyde team all series, right? This has been the home team series, right? Every game.
And Indiana's been better at home than away all year long.
Correct. I attributed that most directly to toughness. I put that on Halliburton. You know, whoever has the ball in their hands more, whether it's Miles Turner, I think the X factor here is Siakam. I think what we saw in Game 6 when Hart went down is more post-ups for Siakam. Siakam's a guy that, you know, is a low-frequency post-up guy, but when he gets touches in there, he's pretty effective. I think he's 1.48 points per possession in those post-ups. So I would expect to see a slower pace. And that, if your kids say, hey, listen, let's slow this thing down because they're so good in transition and they pass the ball so well. But if you have the mismatch with Siakam, if it's Anunoby guarding him and he can go and the pace is slower and you can protect that hamstring, maybe that's advantage Knicks. But I thought Siakam was really good in Game 6. He's a terrific player, championship pedigree. Those are the guys that you have to rely on. Carlisle was the first guy to tell you that these younger guys, including Halliburton, are learning to play in this environment. Halliburton's got to be a rim runner. He's got to get to the, you know, to the paint at will. That's not really his game. So it's going to be very interesting. This is like one of those, you know, slugging out, you know, grappling matches advantage.
All right. When you look at a scenario of Halliburton, explain to me how he floats in and out of games here, where sometimes he looks like the best player on the court, and as we've seen at times in this series, he kind of disappears or wants no part of the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's the ball. Notice how the ball always gravitates towards Brunson, right? Regardless of if they're, you know, the Pacers are pushing up full court, the ball finds its way in Brunson's hands with plenty of time to be able to make a play and pick and roll. Halliburton tends to shy away from the ball. When McConnell comes in, McConnell's been very good for them, especially at home. He's really their dribble drive guy, which is what Brunson does for the Knicks. And when he does get downhill, he takes that floater or he's able to kick it out. Halliburton's not a great catch and shoot guy either. So he's more of a, you know, he defers on those catch and shoot opportunities too. He can't do that today, Moose, to your point. He's got to be aggressive in pick and roll with Turner. You live with what, if the Pacers are going to win, of course, you know, you've got to live with Turner as your jump shooter or your, you know, your rim driver there or roller, and really create offense off of that from the start. McConnell doesn't start for them, but when he comes in, he sort of gives them that juice that Halliburton sometimes does and sometimes doesn't. And if he doesn't, the Pacers could be looking at an early deficit here, 6-8 points. That may be too much to overcome.
All right, what's the pathway to victory today for the Knicks?
You know, it's funny. I was writing down in the notes, and when I was outside earlier, I'm like, I don't know how Kidd – first of all, I don't know if Kidd sleeps at all anyway. But I don't know how him or his staff really got any sleep, other than maybe the last thought before going to bed was, you know, this team is tough. Like, you know what your team is at this stage of the season. They're the toughest team in the playoffs remaining in my mind, and I feel like they were as tough as any team in the league throughout the course of the season. So when you have guys who have that mentality and everybody's all in it together, you know, you can sort of get through any sort of bumps in the road that may happen in a game today. The Pacers may get up 6-7 points at home. You know, this game at home, I don't think they're going to run away from the Knicks. So you know you're always going to be in the game. Keep it a two-possession game. Get what you can get in transition. And, of course, to me, the X factor, offensive rebounding. I look back to a game, Moose, back in February where Isaiah Hartenstein had 8 offensive rebounds. He's had 10 games of over 5 offensive rebounds this season. Of course, had the big one in Game 4 with 12 offensive boards. He does what I call apex rebounds. He's the highest guy to the ball when it's up for grabs in those 50-50 situations. And they're going to need that, obviously, with no Hart. And if the Pacers are going to sort of counter that, guys like Obi Toppin have to be good, Turner, Jackson, things like that. But I think if the Knicks can keep it close, allow for the ball to be in Brunson's hands in that pick and roll, and really get those extra, you know, second chance opportunities, get DiVincenzo going, making some shots. I just don't know if there's enough possessions to match what the Pacers can give you offensively, but they're just going to have to grind it out, talking about the Knicks defensively here, if they're going to keep it a two-possession game late. And then, you know, that's what you want. You want to have the ball in Brunson's hands late in the game and see what happens.
What do you think? How do you think it plays out if the Knicks are successful, victorious today in Game 7? What's the over-under total for Brunson?
Point two. Oh, it's got to be at least 40 to 45. This is one of those moves where I'm like, it feels like a runner, like off the rim a couple of times, you know, like thinking back to the Ewing days with the put-back dunk, or like the Allen Houston sort of floater in Miami. This one feels like a patented Brunson, you know, mid-range sort of floater or an N1, but he's going to have to go crazy. Again, like when I mentioned before, Hart is second on the team in passing and second on the team in touches. That tells you that Brunson has the ball, obviously, first, and there's really nobody to defer. You know, DiVincenzo's not a dribble drive guy, and McBride's not a dribble drive guy. You'll get some of that from Burke, but this is the Jalen Brunson show. And, you know, I tweeted this out before, too. Candace Parker, you know, Becky Hammon, who I love. I mean, I would hire Becky Hammon in a second, either of them, really. You know, going out on a limb saying that earlier in the year, Brunson wasn't, you know, the alpha or the one or whatever the quote was. We're going to find out today. I mean, this is why they throw the ball up, right, Moose? This is what, yeah, you know, sort of legacies are all about. And I expect Brunson to step forward today.
And you think the Knicks win or lose?
You know, I had the Pacers in 7 to start the series, and I don't want to be right. So I feel like the Garden crowd is really going to lift this team. To me, and it goes back to Carlisle's questioning, like, you know, the officiating and the small market. Indiana, I don't think, aside from New York or L.A., there's a bigger basketball market than Indiana. So I don't know what Carlisle was talking about there. So I do question sort of their connectivity and experience and toughness versus the Knicks in a game where everything's on the line. So I'm going to go with the Knicks today. I feel like they're going to get that lift early on. Hopefully, Anunoby's able to go and play 25, 30 minutes, give you some defense. And again, Hart's just going to gut it out. And, you know, I was thinking about this earlier too, Moose. This is a big one. Even if they do lose today, these are the games that you'll remember going forward, and the younger fans will remember about these guys going forward. And, of course, it's just kind of the beginning for what we think is going to be a pretty good run, and I think that's pretty cool. These guys are laying it all out on the line, and it's going to be another memorable game at the Garden, and you know, hopefully the Knicks come out on top.
Tommy D, Modern NBA Creator, Knicks blog for SNY. Tommy, enjoy the game. Hopefully your yard work's done. Enjoy the game this afternoon, and hopefully we get the Knicks through into the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll see. But appreciate the time, Tommy.
Great times, as always, Moose. New York sports, feeling like 94 again. I'm here for it, man. Appreciate your time. Catch you soon.
You got it. That's Tommy D. And, you know, mentioned it's similar to what I talked about earlier on the program. Like, we go back 29 years to the last time the Knicks had a Game 7 at Madison Square Garden. Lot different vibe around the organization that time as compared to this time. Like Tommy hit upon it, that, you know, this is just kind of, you're at the beginning of it, right? Brunson has ascended to superstar status in the NBA. The Knicks were the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference, won 50 games in the regular season. You'd like to them to take that next playoff step and go up against what has been the class of the Eastern Conference and the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. But should they lose this afternoon, different than 95. Got to remember, I mean, Ewing misses that finger roll in Game 7 against the Indiana Pacers. I think it was like September 1st, Pat Riley was being traded to the Miami Heat. Like, it all changed, and not for the good. And then you went into, you know, listen, Van Gundy was good for a while. The Knicks made the run in 99, strike shortened NBA season. But, you know, then it quickly devolved as a franchise to where it became one of the great laughing stocks of misspent money and poor guidance in the association. So it all changed when Riley left, and we've seen the success the Miami Heat had. So it's in terms of, like, significance, like, the Knicks lose today, yes, it would be disappointing. And if you're going to Madison Square Garden, or we're 3+ hours away from tip time, like, breathe it all in. Like, these are great times as a sports fan. like that nervous energy that you feel right now, the excitement, can't wait for the ball to be tipped off, like all of those things, like that stuff is priceless. Like you can't buy that. Like that is part of being a fan. And the Knicks, these kind of moments have been few and far between. You have to go back 29 years until you've had a Knicks Game 7 at home at Madison Square Garden, which is an unbelievable place for hockey, for basketball, college basketball. We know that, the mecca of all that. But 29 years ago, everything changed for the Knicks after that loss to Indiana. After this, should they lose today to the Pacers, which I don't think they will, because I don't think Indiana can handle mentally everything that's going to come their way. And I know Hart is in pain. I know Anunoby is not going to be 100% healthy. He'll play whatever he can do. I lean on Jalen Brunson because I trust him. If you're going to trust one of the players that is going to be taking the court this afternoon on Indiana or the Knicks, that you believe the moment's not going to be too big for him, who understands going into it that they need to be the best player on the court and believe that they can come through with that kind of performance. There's no other player on either of the teams that you trust more than Brunson. Why? Because he showed you time and time and time again. It was not all that long ago. It was a week ago. The Knicks were getting boat raced down in Indiana. And then he had to listen to it for 24, 36 hours. Everybody and their mother come out of the woodwork, basically ripping Tibbs and ripping the Knicks and ripping Knick culture and the way they go about doing their business. And for a lot of people, Chandler Parsons, saw one, ill-informed person after another. And then what did the Knicks do in Game 5? They came through with a virtuoso performance, and Brunson was brilliant. But today's special. There's no doubt about it. It really is. If you're lucky enough to be covering it, fantastic. Take it all in. If you're lucky enough to have a ticket, even if you're standing room, to be able to take in what that atmosphere is going to be like. I know it would be great if it was a night game. It's not. It's a Sunday afternoon in May, but still, it's marvelous. Like, there's no two better words in sports than Game 7. I know it's a cliche. Everyone says it, but it's definitely true. But this is the beginning. Even if the Knicks should fall, it's a beginning. A beginning of something that you hope is a long, sustained run of success. Where maybe in 5-10 years, they're talking about Knick culture the same way that they talk about Heat culture. 1221, Melusis with you. 877-337-6666. That's the number to call. Get back to your busy phone calls. We'll do that on this Melusis Sunday, rolling right up until 1. Yankee baseball comes your way then.